But I want you to see out of 1 Kings chapter 14, a passage of Scripture. So if you would, if you have your Bible, please stand with me, please. We'll read together verses 1 through verse number 6 out of 1 Kings chapter number 14. At this time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracklings and a cruse of honey, and go unto him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And so it was, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came into the door, that he said, "Come in, for thou wife of Jeroboam, why fingest thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." Now, beloved, as we read the passage this morning, I want to bring a message to you on the subject, take off your mask. Take off your mask. And so would you pray with me, please? Father, it is with thankful hearts we can come and approach the throne of grace one more time. Thank you, Lord, for the good day and the singing. Lord, it's been a blessing to our hearts. Father, I pray that you touch everyone that's here today. Lord, if there be one today that doesn't know thee in the free pardon of sin, may this be the glad day and the hour they would come unto thee. Lord, for that one today that's cold and indifferent, their heart needs a stirring from God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would grip that heart today, and Father, bring them back to the place of joy and contentment. Be with us now, use the message in a mighty way, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open, please, into 1 Kings chapter number 14. Now, here we have a man of God by the name of Ahijah. He's an old prophet, and he's blind and seemingly useless to God. I'm sure, beloved, that each one of us has looked around at times, and we've seen someone, and we say to ourselves, either inside or on the outside, "I wonder why God doesn't take him or her on to heaven." Well, beloved, there's only one reason why that God is leaving us here. God has something to do for us to do. Then when our work is done, when our labors are finished, when we fought our last battle, then will he take us home to glory. I'm under the firm belief today that when I've preached my last message, and when I have done all that God has wanted me to do, I believe he'll say, as he did to the Apostle Paul, "You fought a good fight, you finished your course, and now it's time to come on home." And beloved, for you today, the same is true. Why does God leave us here? It's not to be popular, to make money, or to have the fine things of life. God has a reason for everyone to be here. And today you need to find the will of God. Now, you may have loved ones sometime that may linger on. Perhaps today you may have a mother or a grandmother in a nursing home somewhere, and God lets them linger on. And you look down and you say, "I don't understand. Why does God leave them here?" God lets them linger on. Well, beloved, it's not meant for us to understand why. It's meant for us just to obey the Lord and say that God has something else for that person to do. Here we find in the reading of God's word, a man by the name of Ahijah. He has been a faithful man of God. He's been a faithful prophet of the Lord. Never did he trim his message down to fit the crowd. Beloved, he has one last message to preach before it's time for him to go home to glory. And here this congregation of one is the one in which he has been called to preach to. Now God has a purpose for you and me to be in here. Everyone in this room, everybody in this building today, God has a reason to leave us here on this earth. God has something for us to do. Find out what it is and do it by the grace of God. But now notice in your Bible, in chapter number 14, here we have the king by the name of Jeroboam. His son became ill. He became sick. And he said, I want to find out what's wrong with my boy. I want you, he looked at his wife and he said, I want you to disguise yourself. I want you to put on the clothing of a farm girl. I don't want you to be the queen. I want you to look like a common, ordinary woman. And I want you to go down to the man of God. And I want you to ask him, what's going to become of the child? Now, beloved, he said here, this man, he told me one time that I would be king. But I don't like him. I don't like this man of God. I don't like what he has to say. And he said, I want you to go down. Beloved, I say to you today that this world today doesn't like a man that stands for the old time truth. The world today doesn't like a man or a woman that stands on the Bible and doesn't compromise. They don't water it down. They don't cut corners. Beloved, you won't be a popular preacher if you preach the word of God. The same is true today. And so we find that old Jeroboam says to his wife, I want you to go down to the man of God and find out of the status of our child. Is he going to get better or is he going to get worse? And so Miss Jeroboam, she gets up one morning, puts on the dress of a farm girl. She's got a basket of fruit in her hand and goes down through the town. And her crown is gone. Her scepter is gone. Her robe is gone. Nobody recognizes her as she walks down through the middle of town. Nobody recognizes this is the queen. They think that she's just another farm girl. She's disguised herself and she comes to the man of God. As she enters into the man of God, she's fooled the town. She's fooled everybody from the house of the palace all the way down through the last house of town. Nobody recognizes her. But she enters the house of this blind old prophet. And something surprisingly happens. He says to her, come on in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why offendest thou thyself to be another? Why do you pretend to be somebody that you're not? He said, take off your disguise. Pull off your mask. Oh, you're not impressing anybody. I know exactly who you are and what you are. Beloved, she had fooled everybody from the palace all the way down through the town. Oh, my friend today, here's a woman that had put on a disguise. She didn't look like herself. She pretended to be somebody she wasn't and fooled the whole crowd. She fooled everybody from her palace door down through the fundamental church of her day. Beloved, here nobody could recognize who she was, but when she came to the man of God, he recognized her for who she was. Brother, you may fool a lot of people today. You may put on a disguise in the eyes of the world. There are folk probably in this room that you fool people. There are folk today, they may think that you're one thing, and yet you're something else. Old Ahijah said, why do you pretend to be somebody that you're not? He said, take off your mask. Pull off your disguise. I know who you really are. And brother, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven. When he looks down across this face of this earth, he sees you. He sees me. He knows exactly what you are in the silence of your home, down the road somewhere. He knows exactly what kind of person you are. And my friend, he'd say to you you today. Pull off your mask. Take off your disguise. He said, be what you are. Don't be a play actor, a hypocrite. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. And so, beloved, I want to give you three things this morning on why you ought to take off the mask. Why you should take off that disguise. Number one, why should this woman here, as old Ahijah said to her, he said, here you are trying to be somebody you're not. Why should you take off the mask? Number one, because you're lost and not really saved. Well, my friend, today, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? Is there any doubt in your mind? Is there anything in your heart that would say to you today, I'm not sure if I'm saved? When you get alone by yourself riding down the road, does something speak to your heart and say you need to be saved? When you lay your head on your pillow at night and you begin to worry, will I see the dawn of another day? Will I wake up in the portals of glory, or will I go down to a devil's hell? When you ride down the road and a car pulls out in front of you, and all of a sudden it's a hair's breadth between you, and all of a sudden your heart beats faster, and all of a sudden you worry, oh, if I were to go out into eternity, where would I spend eternity? But you say, I belong to the church. Take off your mask. Oh, you say, but I belong to the lodge. Take off your mask. You say, I give to the United Way. Take off your mask. You say, I help my neighbor out. Take off your mask. You say, I've been baptized. The Bible said, take off your mask. And beloved, here we find there are multitudes and multitudes of people that think they're saved, but they're really lost. Do you know that you've been saved today? The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Some people today have doubts, and they try to reassure themselves. They try to con themselves into believing they're really saved. At the same time, they know that they're lost. When a person gets saved, honey, you know the day you got saved. You know the time you got saved. Oh, you might forget the very hour, but my friend, there'll be something that beats in the side of your heart. You'll know the day you got saved. When the blind man's eyes were opened in the New Testament, he knew it. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he knew it. And beloved, when the lost sheep was found, they knew it. And friend, today, if you think so, hope so, maybe so, then it's time that you check up and find out if you're really saved. I believe today we don't have as many folk today in our churches that are really Christians. I believe today we've got a lot of folk today that are really lost without God. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, he gave us some parables about the saved and the lost. He said there in the New Testament, there is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I preached on that before, but I want to also reemphasize it this morning. If you could draw a circle on a piece of paper and put out beside of that circle the kingdom of heaven, inside of that circle draw another circle and put in that little bitty circle the kingdom of God. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said those are in the kingdom of heaven. It has to do with saved and lost people. Oh, listen, friend, if Jesus had 12 disciples and one of them was lost, don't you think that there's a lot of lost people across our churches today? In our churches across our nation, there's multitudes and multitudes of people that think they're saved, and they've been sold a bill, a false good. Here's what the Lord Jesus said concerning the parables of the kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto wheat and tares. Now here, my friend, listen. He said the kingdom of heaven, that saved and lost people, it's like the wheat and tares. The tares look like wheat. They grow alongside of the wheat. Oh, but he says, let them grow. And the day in which the reapers come, they'll be able to separate the wheat from the tares. Hear me out, my friend. The wheat will grow taller than the tares. And when the reapers come by, they'll cut the wheat and leave the tares. He said, take the tares and bind them into bundles and cast them into that everlasting fire. Beloved, here's the thing. I believe that when the Lord Jesus comes, there's going to be multitudes of folk lost and left behind. They're going to think they're saved. They're going to think they're going to go to heaven. And when Jesus comes, they'll be left behind. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. He said as a man went out fishing, took that net and threw it out into the water and pulled the net in. He said there are some good fish and there are some bad fish. I don't know about you, but I've fished enough that I know that not every fish you catch you can eat. Say amen. Oftentimes we'll be fishing and all of a sudden we'll get a bite and we'll drag that thing in. I don't know how many of you. I know some of you have, but we'll catch some of them lizard fishes. Sir, I'll tell you what, they're the most horrible looking thing. They look like a lizard on the end of your line. Amen. They're a trash fish. They ain't no good. You take them and throw them right back in. And the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven is like in catching fish. He said they'll separate them one day. There'll be the good and there'll be the bad. I'm not saying that you can go to heaven because you're good. I'm not saying you'll go to hell because you're bad. I'm saying they're saved and lost in everywhere. He said the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. He said they went to their way, and then at midnight the bridegroom came, gave the call, and so he got up and they trimmed their wicks and they lit their lamps. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had put oil in their lamps. 5 did not. May I say to you today that unless you've got the Holy Ghost of God, unless you've got the breath of heaven, unless you feel the tug of God in your soul, you need to check up today. Amen. I believe when a person gets saved, he ought to act right. He ought to talk right. He ought to dress like. He ought to be just like Jesus. Amen. I believe that when a man or a woman gets saved, they're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And you ought to act right. You ought to talk different. The Bible said be filled with the Spirit of God. Now hear me out, friend. And then he said the kingdom of heaven is likened to the marriage supper. He said there came a man to the marriage supper. And he said he didn't have on a wedding garment. And they looked at him. They said, friend, why did you come in and you didn't have a garment on? It was customary for the man that hosted the wedding to put out there the garments of those. When they would come, they'd put on a robe and they'd walk inside of that wedding. But here was a man that came inside the wedding. He wasn't clothed right. He didn't have on the wedding garment. And they said unto him, take him and bind him and cast him in outer darkness. Beloved, listen, when it comes time for you to hear the call from glory, will you be clothed in the vesture of his blood? Are you washed in the precious blood of Christ? If you can't say yes, you need to check up today. And so here, my friend, Jesus is saying that there are saved and lost in our world today. If you're a lost person, take off that mask of religion. If you've been play acting, take off that disguise. You may have fooled your parents. You may have fooled the preacher. You may have fooled the deacons. You may have fooled the Sunday school teacher. But there's one in heaven that'll never fool, and that's God Almighty. But then second of all this morning, why should I take off my mask, preacher? Number one, are you really saved? Number two, because you've been deceived. Satan's job is to deceive people today. Beloved, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Beloved, Satan's job is to blind the minds of people today. Many are deceived into thinking that good works is going to take them to heaven. We were talking a little bit after Wednesday night, and hear me out what I'm about to say. The cults of today, those Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and the Roman Catholic Church, they'll talk just enough to where you believe what they say. They'll slide in just enough truth, but then they'll begin to slide in that damnable heresy, and they'll teach you the way to heaven is through good works. Beloved, let me tell you something. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, in the New Testament, the Jews believed in what was called 10 awesome days. Hear me out. This is what the Jewish people believed. They believed that in the first 10 days of the year were these 10 awesome days. They believed that there were three books. Now listen to me. The first book, they believed that it contained the names of the very, very good people. In the second book, they believed it contained the names not good enough to be in the good book, but not bad enough to be in the bad book. And then third of all, they believed that there was a third book of the very, very bad people, the 10 awesome days. Now hear me out. During those 10 awesome days, the people in the sinner book could get right with God and get their names in the first book, and the people that were going to heaven. The people in the last book, they could get right with God and get their names in the sinner book. And friend, you say, what's wrong with that? It all sounds fine, except it's just one big lie. Amen? It's not by works of righteousness we've done. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. There's only two places to go after death. That's either going to heaven or either going to hell. There is no purgatory. There is no soul sleep. There is no paradise for those that have followed Allah. My friend, listen. It's either heaven again and a hell to shun. There's only two books. And I believe the Bible records every man that has ever lived. I believe in the New Testament, you find in the book of Revelation, there is the book of life. Now, hear me out. I believe today, my friend, that the day that you got born in this world, your name was inscribed in the book of life in heaven. I believe it records everyone that has ever been born physically in this world. Maybe somewhere in the portals of glory, there is a date inscribed in a book, July the 27th, 1955, and maybe it's highlighted, underscored, and everybody just say, that's a good day. Amen. That's a great day. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what that is, then mark it down your calendar. Amen. It's coming up real soon. That's my birthday. Amen. And you might say, and that day was the day I was born into this world. But wait a minute. It's not enough to have my name in the book of life. I want my name in the Lamb's book of life. Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Have you been born of the Spirit of God? I believe that the day you got saved, that your name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. And there's nothing under this world, no demon, there's no devil that can ever take my name out of the Lamb's book of life. Amen. I don't care how bad a person has been after he gets saved. Friend, I'm one to believe that when you get saved, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, honey, you may have to pay for some of the things you've done. You may have to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll have to answer for the deeds you've done in your body. But friend, listen, one thing is for sure, that your name won't be erased out of the Lamb's book of life. But the question is your name there? Is your name there? Has your name ever been written there? Oh, you say, preacher, my name's in the book of life, but I don't know if it's in the Lamb's book of life. You better get sure. You better check up. Many are deceived. Turn over your Bibles, please, this morning, and I will let you go in just a minute. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. Turn over there for just a second. I want to show you something. I want you to see what the Lord Jesus said about this. In Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, watch it, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached in your name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? In thy name have we done many wonderful works? Hear me out. I believe a man can be lost and he can do good things. I believe a man can be lost and still preach. I believe a man can be lost, and according to the Bible, a man can be lost and still do miracles in Jesus' name here. But that don't mean he's saved. He's been deceived. He's been deceived. But the Bible says that many will say to me that day, he didn't say a few, he said many. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we preached in your name, prophesied, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. And he'll say unto them in verse 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I didn't know you and lose you or forget you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus said that. Jesus said this. That many will say to him that day, Lord, haven't we done all these things in the name of Jesus? Haven't we built these churches? And haven't we seen all these things done and preached in your name and served and knocked on doors? And he'll say unto you, I don't know you. You've never been a child of mine. Oh, what a tragedy that'll be. Judas performed many miracles in the name of Jesus, but he was lost without God. You can do all kind of works and be lost without God. You can say, preacher, I teach a Sunday school class, but you can be lost without God. You can say, preacher, I help take up the money. You can still be lost without God. You can say, I sing in the choir, but you can still be lost without God. You might say, preacher, I'm a servant in the church and still be lost without God. Friend, listen, you might be here this morning and you're wearing that fake mask and you're putting on, when you get up, you put on some kind of disguise and you come in and you say the right words and you shake the people's hand. But when you go out, you know in your heart that you're not saved. Oh, that's such a tragedy for people. When they stand before God one day, they have been a play actor. Why should I take off my mask? Because if you don't take it off, God will take it off. Go back to your passage here for a second. I'm going to show you something. Look in chapter 14 of 1 Kings. Miss Jeroboam, she got up that morning. She put on her disguise. She looked like a typical farm girl. She fooled the people in the palace. She got dressed. She went downtown. She fooled the people in town. She fooled the people in Judah. She fooled the people in Shiloh. She fooled her neighbors. She fooled everybody around her. They didn't recognize who she was. But in her heart, she knew that she was who she was. She was the queen. And she figured, I can go down to the man of God and I'll find out what I need to find out. He won't know who I am. So she goes and knocks on his door. Now watch. Can you imagine the expression on her face? She's done fooled everybody in the palace. She fooled all the maid servants, all the men servants. She fooled everybody from the palace all the way down there to his little old house. And she knocks on the door. And what does old Ahijah say? He says, come on in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be somebody you're not? Why do you pretend to be somebody you're not? Beloved, one of these days, God will reach down and pull the wool back. One day, God will reach down and he'll expose the people for who they are. There is nothing hid, nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. God will reveal your play acting. God will reveal that hypocrisy. You say, preacher, what is a hypocrite? I've heard it a long time. I've heard people say, I don't want to go down to church with a bunch of hypocrites, honey. Let me tell you something. A hypocrite is a person who's a play actor. It comes from a Greek word. In the days of old, they would take a mask and put it on their face and go out and hold that mask and pretend to be somebody or something they're not. And from that word, a play actor, came the word hypocrite. A play actor. Somebody's putting on a play. Not a saved person. Saved people can sin. They can live carnal, but they're not a hypocrite. You understand that? A lot of people talk about, you know, this Christian, he's a hypocrite. No, honey, if a real hypocrite means he's a play actor, he's never been saved. Your actions betray your hypocrisy. I believe a Christian, he can sin, but he won't be comfortable in sin. Listen to me today. I know some folk. Beloved, listen, And I know some folk that they could sin and it doesn't bother them. They're not convicted. They don't have any remorse. They don't have any kind of shame. They can live openly in sin. And it seemed like God never chastened them. And yet they'll look you square in the eyes and they'll say, I'm a Christian. My Bible says if you step outside of God's grace there, God's going to take that hickory switch and wear you out. Amen? Amen? If you're saved, God's going to, he said, I'll chasten my children. He said, but a bastard, he said, I'll not chasten a bastard. And that's an illegitimate child. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Read Hebrews, amen? That's what he said. If any man be without chastisement, he is a bastard and not a child of God. Oh, listen, my friend, that's a tragedy today. Your words betray your actions. Peter, that day, when they looked at Peter, they said, your speech betrays you. The desires that you have betray you. I don't want to take an inventory this morning, but I would ask you today, how many of you love the Word of God? How many of you love the church? How many of you today, you say, preacher, I love the house of God. Then my friend ought to be there when the doors are open. The Bible said, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me close with this. Back many, many years ago, how many of you, I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you have heard that phrase, he had to face the music? How many has heard that before? You probably don't know maybe where that came from. But it came from, they say that back in China, many years ago, the emperor had an orchestra. Oh, such a well-trained orchestra. Beautiful music they would play. There was a man that wanted to be a part of the emperor's orchestra, but he couldn't play a lick. He couldn't play a note. But he knew some people. And through power and through a cunning, he was able to get a position in the emperor's orchestra. And so when they would sit up there and play, he had a flute. He'd hold the flute. He'd pretend that he was playing, but he wasn't playing. He'd pretend he's blowing the notes, but nothing was coming out. He was play acting. He was pretending to be something he wasn't. Time went on. One day the emperor said, we're going to have each person play their instrument for me. We're going to gather everybody together, and one by one, we're going to have you come and play your instrument. The man worried about that all day and into the night. He said, I can't do it. I can't face the music tomorrow. I can't face the emperor. I can't play a lick. And oh, I don't want him to know that I've been just a play actor. And so that night he took poison and killed himself. And later, on the next day, they said that he dared not face the music. Friend, one of these days, you're going to have to face the music. One of these days, God's going to look down from heaven. He's going to give the shout. Voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God's going to sound. And the Christian's going to leave out. One day God may look down from heaven and take that omnipotent finger of God, reach down and touch that ticker you got beneath your chest right here, and all of a sudden you're out to eternity. Beloved, where will you spend eternity? It'd be a shame for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl to go through this life thinking they're saved and they're really lost. Beloved, I've had friends and loved ones. I've had people that I've grown up with, people I've preached to. People in my churches before, they finally come to the point and say, preacher, I have never really been saved. I don't want to risk my eternal soul on a gamble. I want to be sure. Can you show me how to be sure? And the Bible will show you how to be saved.